Coming up next on Tech News Today, tech companies are speaking out about the DACA announcement. Also, WhatsApp finally has a plan to make some money. Xiaomi is an Android One partner, and we go gloves on with the Essential Phone. All that more coming up next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today, episode 1846, recorded Tuesday, September 5th, 2017. This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by Tracker, a coin-sized tracking device that pairs with your smartphone and keeps you from losing your most valued possessions. Visit thetracker.com right now and enter promo code TNT to save 20% off any order.
Welcome to Tech News Today. This is the show where we tell you what's happened today in the world of technology, and we do it with a smile. I'm Megan Maroney.
I'm Jason Howell. Sometimes we do it with a glove as well. This is for later. I'm not going to wear this weird glove for the entire show. We'll tell you in the mid-show segment why I'm wearing a glove. Why am I wearing a glove?
I don't know.
I know that it's really hard to get off. We should talk about something serious.
Okay.
Hold on. What?
It's stuck there forever. You peel it. Have you ever watched doctor shows or like crime shows or any shows where people wore plastic gloves?
No, I try and stay away from plastic gloves.
Are you allergic to latex?
No, they're just weird.
Yeah.
They're just not, well, yeah. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Well, I received a few emails over the weekend regarding the DACA conversation I had last week with Micah Sargent. Now, the two of us discussed how tech companies had banded together to tell the president that they supported the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. One viewer said that we should have invited someone on with an opposing view, or I should have played devil's advocate. Someone else advised us to stay out of politics, as we are often advised. Thank you so much for those messages. I don't know the opposite argument. I have heard only one that seems even remotely plausible, that maybe this would teach people not to bring their children in illegally, but I don't think so. But there's I tried. There you go. I personally think deporting people who were brought here as children and who want to work or go to school or serve in the military is wrong. And the other side of the story, I guess, could also be that people are saying this is just a legislative issue. That's basically what Trump's saying, that he wants Congress to do something about it. And that's more politics than tech, so I won't go into that. But the tech story is how Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, and other tech companies have responded now that our president has decided to rescind Obama's immigration order that would, of course, have shielded some children of undocumented immigrants from deportation. Apple's Tim Cook has sent a letter to employees, 250 of whom are Dreamers, saying they will advocate for a legislative solution. Meanwhile, Microsoft says that it will pay legal fees to fight deportation for its employees. And Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg used his platform to call this a sad day for our country. So, yeah, that's the tech news segment of this. Watch any other network if you want to hear more about the politics of it. I think what's most interesting is Microsoft's stance. Brad Smith says Congress should replace DACA with new legislation before they work on the tax reform bill. He said that in a post on the Microsoft on the Issues blog, which is a big deal for Microsoft, I think. They would obviously want a reformed tax bill for their bottom line. Microsoft has 39 Dreamers. Uber has 11 Dreamers. Those are, of course, the people that that came to this country under the DACA program, or were allowed to stay under the DACA program legally.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see how the companies are committing to put their money into the effort to protect their employees as one symbol of kind of pushback for this, obviously. Cover legal fees. Like you said, Microsoft essentially is saying the government is going to have to go through them in order to get their employed Dreamers. And I'm guessing you're probably going to see that more, although Microsoft's been the most explicit about that. They've been the most vocal about, like, heck no, you know, we have a certain amount of employees who fall under
39.
This, and you know, you're not going to get to them without us committing whatever we need to protect them, which has to feel at least somewhat positive for those employees. But it's also a bigger symbolic gesture. Obviously, they can't protect everybody. That's whose career or whose job is at stake. There's 700,000 jobs at stake with a change like this as it stands. So, they're really kind of pushing. What you said about Microsoft prioritizing DACA over tax reform, which they stand to gain a lot from. They've even said, they want to see the tax system fairer, more competitive, and those changes are really important to companies the size of Microsoft, but they put this first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so March 5th, 2018 is the date. That's the end date for DACA under this new policy, and this is only the beginning. We're certainly going to hear a lot more about that.
Yeah, and I mean, Web 0707 in the chat room says that those tech companies just want cheap labor so they don't have to pay a decent wage. I don't think that is the issue. This is separate from the HB1 visa program, which is much bigger. I mean, like I said, there's only 39 DACA employees. The HB1 visa that's talking about outsourcing from other countries, that is way, I mean, there's thousands of people there, and that's also something that's threatened, but this is a separate issue than that. I think we're talking about innovation. We're talking about, people coming to this country and being, getting educated. I mean, these are people that went through extensive background checks and want to be employed. They want to be educated, or they want to serve in the military. It's not just in this case, in these tech companies' cases, it's not about just hiring someone to clean their floors because you can pay them less because they're illegal or whatever. Like that, they're not.
Well, and I think there's also a bigger analog in the realm of the amount of data that we share. You could kind of compare this to that in some ways. In some ways, those under DACA, protected by DACA, were encouraged to kind of come out of the shadows. And Mark Zuckerberg kind of mentions this in his write-up. Come out of the shadows, in light of DACA. And then now, at this point, the rules have changed. And what do you know? They are now identified because they came out of the, they were encouraged to come out of the shadows. And now that could strike, bite them in the ass. And I mean, the same could be said about all of our sharing of data and services and all this kind of stuff. You never know at what point that information can turn actually against you. And this is kind of a representation of that to a certain degree, I think. So it translates over into technology, I think, pretty evenly. WhatsApp has been a Facebook-owned property since 2014, and in that time doubled the messaging app's monthly user count to 1.3 billion users. It's about time Facebook makes some money off of it. I think you would agree to that. WhatsApp, I think Facebook would agree to that. I don't know how I feel. But WhatsApp will soon charge large-scale businesses by offering ways to reach their customers with important and useful information like flight times and delivery confirmations. That's really targeting kind of the enterprise, the really large companies. Small and medium-sized businesses will have access to a free app integrating similar tools and features so they can better communicate with their customers. The free app is still in the works, as yet unreleased, although some are being able to test it out. There was a 1MG, 1 milligram. It's a health startup in India that's been piloting the new app. And they say their fulfillment rate has doubled since implementing it. They say it's just way easier to communicate with customers through WhatsApp instead of their own app or instead of via SMS. So it could be a good solution for other businesses.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Facebook has run out of places to advertise on the Facebook feed, on our news feed. And so they are taking a different tack to make money here. And I mean, if a business wants to pay for that, I prefer that than advertising.
Right.
In this sense, I'm not a big user of WhatsApp. I use it occasionally when that's what people want to communicate with me on. So, I think it'll be, I also think they're trying to solve that problem of, I know with my, text messages, I don't love to mix iMessage with work stuff. It's hard. And so they're going to be giving businesses like green badges. So it's different. So I think, that'll be, because we have all these ways of communicating. And when you're mixing a bunch of personal stuff with a bunch of work stuff, it can get complicated, or business stuff.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, like you said, this is not relying on ads at this point, the way Facebook, has proven that they're cool with in the Facebook app. And then, of course, Messenger ads came to Messenger not too long ago. You could see how that could happen here. And I guess they weren't necessarily ruling it out entirely. Although when they were acquired, Facebook and WhatsApp both said they would not quote, degrade the experience with ads inside the app. But anything can change over time, right? They also removed the $1 per month fee. Now, I mean, they've just got an insane user base that even if they monetize a small portion of that, they're bringing in a lot of money, and targeting kind of the larger businesses seems like the least invasive way for the general, you know, user base of the service. And, you know, maybe they create something better, a better way to communicate with certain segments of users in markets that are hard to communicate with those people, because WhatsApp has a very big, you know, amount of support in kind of, you know, developing markets and stuff like that. So maybe that's an advantage for it as well.
Well, if you're not interested in a new $1,000 plus iPhone, you might be interested in the Android One Mi A1 from Xiaomi. The aim of Android One, that program, was to put quality, affordable phones into the hands of more people in developing countries. The program's been a bit dormant for a while, but it lives on with the Mi A1, that's the first partnership between Google and Chinese phone maker Xiaomi. The phone has a dual screen, 2x optical zoom, a 5.5-inch display. It's available in 40 markets. It'll cost around $234, although it won't be available in the U.S. anytime soon. Other Android One phones cost around $50. So yeah, even though $234 sounds pretty cheap, it's more expensive than the previous Android ones. It comes in black, gold, and rose golds. I know, Burke, you're looking for a phone, so maybe you can get yourself to get someone to give you one of these.
He's shaking his head.
Dual camera, not a dual screen. Did I say dual screen? Dual camera.
Yeah, dual screen. I didn't hear that, but yeah, there are such things as dual screens. The LG V20 had a dual screen, but that's not on here. Yeah, this is definitely the more, probably the most kind of premium, if you want to call it that, Android One device that's existed to date. And Xiaomi is a fantastic manufacturer, right? Like, they've got an incredible presence and reputation in markets like India, which the Mi A1 is going to launch in India first, and then branch out from there. So I think it'll be interesting to see how this plays out, considering the cost difference. If Android One was really all about lowering the barrier and bringing, you know, being a certain segment's first smartphone because the barrier is lowered so far and you get value for that cost and everything like that, this is really kind of the low mid-range territory, you know, with the price conversion even here in the U.S. So in these markets, that's actually a pretty premium price depending on where it's being marketed to. I'll be curious to see how that performs. But if it's targeting people who would normally buy Xiaomi devices, this would be less expensive than what they'd be paying. And maybe that works out in that regard too.
And so is there, I know it's not available in the U.S., but do you have Waze?
There are ways. Absolutely.
Ways. He has ways.
I have ways. I don't have the ways. There are ways. I mean, we bought the Xiaomi Mi 4. Was it the Mi 3 or the Mi 4? I can't remember. It was a few years ago. But there are online markets, you know, kind of like AliExpress or whatever, where you can import devices. Sometimes you can even find them in Amazon, depending on where you're looking and, you know, who's selling it and everything. But yeah, there are ways, but you're not going to find this legitimately in the U.S. You might find it legitimately, but you're not going to find it in a carrier store.
Okay.
Xiaomi doesn't sell any of its devices in the U.S. It has not broken into the U.S. market yet. So it's just not going to be here unless it's imported by a third party of some sort. But I'd be very curious to see. It looks cool. One negative that I have about it, just as an Android fan and, you know, loving progress, is that it seems like a step back in the sense that it's the first Android One device without on-screen navigation buttons. It relies on capacitive buttons, and they're actually in the reversed order from what Android devices usually have, which is something that Samsung had done for a really long time that always annoyed me. So there's that. But hey, $234 is not bad for everything that you get here.
And it comes in rose gold.
Rose gold, yeah. That never too much when you're talking rose gold. There it is. Oh, it's so rose-ish and goldy. Rovio, the company that brought you A Million and One Things based on Angry Birds, including a motion picture, is aiming to go public with an IPO where it hopes to raise $36 million to aid in future growth. The company's revenues nearly doubled during the first half of 2017 compared to last year. not a bad turnaround after Angry Birds fatigue hit hard, if you remember, in 2014. That resulted in the layoff of 110 employees at the time, and they really had to kind of reevaluate and see, do they double down on Angry Birds going forward? Do they do new IP, all that kind of stuff? But Rovio took a stab at producing the Angry Birds movie, and apparently that fatigue was fleeting because it pulled in $350 million in worldwide box office receipts and kind of changed the course for the company. Now they're emboldened again. They're making money. It kind of rejuvenated the brand, right? A lot of kids went to see this Angry Birds movie and probably got excited about the brand again. And now they're selling a lot in the games and everything. Although, you know, I wonder how long until that happens again, you know, until they fatigue on that again. But there's another movie in the works, 2019. The sequel is planned. Did you see the Angry Birds movie?
No.
No.
Nor have I ever once played Angry Birds, not one
really?
Time. I never
wow.
played it. I know. I'm proud of that.
It's a good game. I mean, it got overblown and totally got boring after a while because it was the same mechanics and then they tried different things and whatever. It got old, but there were some good games.
So the company has said, we're going to go public because we, even though we followed the same path as so many other mobile game makers, they got insanely popular and then couldn't follow it up with anything good. But then they made a movie and they're going to make another movie. So now they're going to IPO?
Well, they made a movie, and I'm not sure if that was the sole reason for the IPO, but I think they pulled in a good chunk of change from that movie and lit up, you know, their other avenues. They're also selling merchandise, you know, for Angry Birds and their other characters and everything. I just think that the movie ended up not being a total and complete flop, right? Like, I saw the movie in the theater with my kids. They wanted to see it, and it wasn't that great. But the kids were excited about it, and I'm sure there were a lot of kids that were excited about it. And just that alone is enough to kind of remind people of the franchise and get them excited about that. And I think that's kind of what they're looking to do. They want to possibly buy new talent, new intellectual property with the money, and try some new things. But you know they're also going to be throwing out a ton of Angry Birds stuff
yeah.
as well.
Well, they were at one point valued at $9 billion. And I don't know. They are very dependent on these Angry Birds.
Yeah.
Why are they angry again?
They explain it in the movie. I can't remember. I can't remember. I don't want to remember. It's okay. Angry Birds.
Okay.
Because what? Because of the pigs? Well, I mean, yeah, the pigs are their enemy. So maybe they're just angry because of the pigs. I don't know.
It's Angry Birds. You said that like, it's Chinatown.
It's Angry Birds. Coming up, we have the essential phone here. Is it really that essential? We'll take a look. But first, let's take a minute to thank Tracker, the sponsor of this episode. There's a ritual that we all know far too well when we're looking for our keys or something that we just can't find. First, you check the obvious places. Did they drop between the cushions on the couch or in the kitchen? Or maybe they're in your pockets and you just didn't check there. Then the weird places, the bathroom, the fridge, the hamper. Then you start getting really creative, like the top shelf in the garage. Who knows why it would be up there? Hey, you never know. Things get thrown around in the garage all the time. I don't know. 8 years ago, Tracker changed everything when they released their first tracking device, and now they've done it again with the all-new Tracker Pixel. With Tracker Pixel, you'll never worry about losing your things again. Tracker Pixel is the lightest Bluetooth tracking device on the market. You place Tracker Pixel on whatever you tend to lose, be it keys, wallets, even your cat. It's small enough to fit on your smallest items. When you misplace an item that has a Tracker Pixel attached, use your smartphone and a 90 decibel alert will help you find it in seconds. That's really loud. It even has powerful LED lights so you can find your items in the dark. If you lose your phone, you just press the button on your Tracker Pixel and your phone's going to ring even if you left it on silent. You can even locate your item if it's miles away because every Tracker user is part of the largest crowd locate network in the world. And Tracker's 30-day money-back guarantee means you truly have nothing to lose. Go to thetracker.com and enter promo code TNT to save 20% off any order. That's thetracker.com, promo code TNT for 20% off. We thank Tracker for their support of Tech News Today. Andy Rubin, the father of Android, reemerged late last spring with the announcement of a new brand of smartphone, the Essential Phone. And though it took a bit longer than he led would-be owners to believe, it's now finally being received by those who pre-ordered, including our own Leo Laporte here, who got his device today. He kindly handed it over to me so that we can show off here on TNT today, since we've talked so much about it in the past. And also, Father Robert kindly handed over this glove to me because he says that this is how you show off the phone to maximum impact. And the reason is, okay, so here's the essential phone. The glove's just going to gross me out. But anyways, so here it is. why am I wearing a black glove? Because this is the most fingerprint magnetiest phone I think I've ever seen. Like, you have to admit, it's a beautiful device, right? It's got the ceramic, titanium sides. It's just very glossy and piano black. I can't remember what the name of this color of the device is, but I mean, in person, it's really striking. It's very shiny and everything. All it takes is a couple of misses on the fingerprint reader and see, yeah. What you really need is a digital hand to unlock your phone, because mm-hmm. then it won't leave a fingerprint smudge. Or you need a dedicated glove to use your phone, which is what I have here. So this is the essential phone, which, let's see here, 5.7, real quick refresher here, 5.7 inch LCD QHD display. It does have the fingerprint sensor on the back, although in my short amount of time on it, you can see how flush it is. It actually makes it kind of hard to find, so then you end up dropping more fingerprints on the back. 13 megapixel dual rear facing cameras, f1.85 aperture lens on there. Though it sounds like a lot of reviewers are having a lot of like no luck with the camera. They're just not impressed with what the camera's able to do.
Well, Leo tried to take a picture of Padre and I, and then he was like, jump up and down, and it's slow-mo or something, and then it froze.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I don't know if he was just messing with us, but...
Hey, what do you know? The camera works through the glove. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. I didn't even have to ask. You just knew. Okay, so I did that. It didn't lock up on me.
Okay.
And we have... Okay, where's the slow-mo?
Oh.
There. Oh,
look, it looks like I'm doing the beach hair thing.
Here we go. Slow-mo! Oh, my goodness. See, aren't we happy we did that? Yeah. All right. Well, at least it didn't lock up.
That
right?
is the most amazing phone with no logos. Totally worth it.
So, yes, you, Megan, you have noticed that there is no logo to be found
yes.
anywhere on this device.
A logo is your fingerprint.
We have talked about that. Yes, exactly. The logo are all the fingerprints that I've dropped in the short amount of time that I've been doing this review.
Yeah. So anyone freezes that could take your fingerprint and unlock any of your phones.
Don't do that, though. 8 megapixel front-facing camera, 30-40 milliamp hour battery, which I've heard the battery life on this is pretty good, pretty decent, although that's pretty standard rating. USB-C on the bottom, which, as you can see, has this beautiful headphone jack plugged in. It comes with the dongle, so if you want to use your wired headphones, this is how you do it, because there is no headphone jack. It's this thing. The dongle life. You get used to that?
It's a nice dongle. I like... That dongle came with it, you said? Or
yes,
you have
it came with it.
That I will give it that. That's a nice dongle.
Got a nice dongle. Android 7.1.1 Nougat. And of course it has these accessory pins on the back here. They're power pins to supply power to the devices. We did not get the 360-degree camera. That hasn't come, even though Leo has ordered it, but that would snap right on there and extend the phone's capability to include 360-degree capabilities. And Burke says he's going to lift the fingerprints from the phone, mm-hmm. which I thought we were friends, Burke. Anyways.
He wants to be better friends. Yes.
He wants to be such good friends that he can be you. Snapdragon 835, so kind of the most up-to-date Snapdragon processor right now. 4 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage. But anyway, so I think the design is the striking aspect of this. Do you want to paw at it a little bit?
Sure, I would like to paw.
Do you want a glove?
No.
Okay, give you.
I do. Yeah. It just looks like a black box. I mean, that's sort of Andy Rubin's thing, right? He wants to spend us less time. It's not just a phone, it's a whole system, right? We're going to have the home thing, and he wants us to spend less time with it. So I do like that, that it looks just like an empty black box. I'm getting won over by the no logos. We do have to talk about the iFixit issue. The iFixit took it apart. Uh-huh. It's a bunch of glue. They gave it the worst repair rating ever. They tore it down.
It's a one out of 10. And we should also mention, obviously, iFixit sponsor on the TWiT network.
So yeah, that's not good. Like, we want to be able to fix it, right, Andy Rubin?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on how you look at that, right? Some people are like, yeah, but how often do you really need to break apart your phone? And really, I feel like that number should always be as high as possible because accidents do happen. This phone, I don't know how fragile it is with ceramic on the back, glass on the front. There's no like protruding bezel in any way, shape, or form to protect it if it falls flat on its face or not. So, I mean, you're going to have to replace things if you drop this sucker. And people are very good at dropping things, and or you get a case on it. And I haven't even seen any of the cases for this yet. But, you know, you want to be able to get in there and repair things. And from what I understand from the iFixit teardown, like the USB-C connector is soldered into some other piece, and then, you know, there's just a bunch of glue, like you said, everywhere. So basically, soldered to the motherboard. There you go. In order to actually get to the battery, which was not completely fastened into place, like you could feasibly replace the battery pretty easily. It's just everything that's around the battery is so glued down that you're going to break stuff when you try and remove it and, mm-hmm. and take it apart. And so that, you know, that kind of stinks. But, you know, maybe the trade-off for that is that you have this tight design. You know what I mean? If they made it more of a click-and-play sort of design, maybe that adds bulk. I don't know. I don't design phones. But yeah, one's pretty bad. I mean, it's as bad as you can get as far as iFixit is concerned. So
what's the story with the modular magnetic attachment on the back? What are you supposed to attach to it?
Well, so the 360 degree camera is kind of the launch idea for that. And like I said, Leo ordered that. He hasn't received it yet. But essentially, yeah, it just snaps right onto place on the very back here, extends over the top. So it would just kind of go click right in. Those pogo pins basically pass through power, so it powers the device that's in there. It doesn't transfer data. So these pogo pins are specifically for transferring power to power the attachment. The data is transmitted wirelessly into the phone, so into the camera app in that case or whatever. And, you know, the idea is over time they would add more modules, kind of similar to what Motorola is doing with Moto Mods. Andy Rubin did say that he wants the modules for this to be compatible with future devices, be it phones or other device categories, which he has said they're going to come out with more than just phones. They even have a home assistant that they're going to come out with at some point that they announced when they announced this phone initially back in May, I think the end of May. So who knows what the future is for those modular pieces, but I mean, it's kind of at the core of Andy's plan for Essential, it seems like. Whether that's going to be a success or not, I guess that remains to be seen.
So to be clear, the dongle comes with the phone. The glove does not come with the phone.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're going to have to spring for your own glove. You don't get my glove. And I didn't even have to spring for this. Padre apparently has a supply of gloves.
I love your disgust at the rubber glove. I don't... I want it to succeed. I want more, more phones out there in the market. I don't want a monopoly or a duopoly in phones.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know how like we can't really use the word Uber anymore, or we can't use the word Trump like as the way it was meant to be, like mm-hmm. you know that Trump's whatever, or it's you know that's the Uber of Terms rubber change, gloves. Yeah. Like I want the word essential to be a word I get to still use.
I think you can.
Okay.
I think it remains to be seen how much of a success Essential is going to be in rewriting.
Okay.
You know, the kind of, I don't know, collective understanding of what essential as a word
okay.
means.
That's my biggest concern here, saving the word essential for its...
Hey, maybe in a couple of years, Essential is going to be the next Samsung. They had a lot of stumbles coming out of the gate. At least they're shipping the device now. And this is the first device they have plans, you know, they have funding. So we're going to see more from them. And it's Andy Rubin involved. That's why so many people have given it a pass on some of the things that have happened up until now, primarily because he's involved and he's kind of considered the father of Android. So So people give this device a pass, whereas other newcomers coming out of the gate might not have been let off so easily, I think. Mm-hmm. But I mean, as far as the phone itself, the promise of this nice aesthetic and nice design, I think it succeeds on that front. And it's got a really nice feel. Like it's a very kind of, it feels significant. You know what I mean? It doesn't feel empty or hollow. And it's good. What, Burke? Edge to edge is nice. Yeah, it goes all the way to the edge. Thank you, Burke. That's a good point. You can see the display goes right up to the edge on three sides. The little notch around the camera, which I thought was going to bug me, really doesn't in person.
Yeah, and, we're all going to be getting used to that notch, I think.
I know. That notch is coming for us all.
So a lot of people in the chat room are asking, like, what about the camera? We should say that you got this phone 5 minutes before we started the show.
Yeah.
It arrived just this afternoon. Leo had it. And so, you're going to be doing a full review on the screensavers.
Yes, I will be reviewing this on this weekend's screensaver. So I'm on the screensavers with Leo. And I don't know if it's a full review because I will have only had it Tuesday through Saturday, but I will definitely be using it for the next 5 days. By the way, I opened up the camera app while you were talking and I took pictures and it was really slow. Dentist appointment.
like you're getting your alerts.
Yep, I'm getting my notifications. Did you see how long it took to take that picture? Oh, man, that's just so slow. And I had heard that. Like, I'd say most of the complaints that I'm hearing from people who have spent a couple of weeks with this now is that the camera just doesn't live up. Like, the low light performance is not very good. It's slow, obviously. When you click to take a picture, it's kind of laggy and other things. So there you go.
I'm waiting for you to get your Note 8. I'm excited about that.
Someday soon. What is that? 3 weeks from now, we'll have a Note 8, and we'll talk about that then.
Well, a few weeks ago, we talked about the subscription service MoviePass that lets you watch one movie every day for only $10 a month. And Scott wrote to us about our discussion, which was how we might do this because the price of movie tickets has gotten so high. And Scott says, honestly, the cost of going to the movies isn't the reason we pretty much never go. It boils down to several reasons. Theaters are dirty. Other attendees are noisy and rude, often on their phones. You can't pause to use the bathroom. Key. That is key. That's definitely the reason why I don't go to the movies. You can't bring in your own food, and the food available costs 10 times what it should. What's the pull? The only reason we go now is for the once in a blue moon when there's a movie worth seeing in IMAX 3D, something we can't recreate at home, or we've invested in a 75-inch TV and surround sounds. So, Scott, you are the movie theater company's worst nightmare, and they are doing everything they can to figure out how to get people like you back in the theater, except apparently making great movies. They haven't figured that out yet.
And I don't know. Angry Birds was really good. I mean, probably amazing in IMAX 3D, to be honest. But I didn't see it.
Yeah. I'm interested in the MoviePass thing. We'll see. We'll see. I suggested it to my husband, who doesn't like to spend money at all. And he was like, well, that's cool. Like the $10. He actually, when he spends money, he uses it. So he would be the person that was at the movie theater, hell or high water, every single day, getting his money's worth.
Man, 15 years ago, me would have been all over it. Now I'm just not that certain. Like, I feel like life is just crazy. It's hard to know that for certain I would have time, you know, once of a month to actually make it worth it.
Future Jason will have time. Future Jason, okay. Girls will not want to have anything to do with you. So
okay.
Do you have to look forward to that?
Okay, cool. Hopefully MoviePass is still around. TNT's fan of the day is SteveFM2003 on Twitter, who sent us this picture showing how you can have TNT playing on a tablet in the shower and have an attached stereo speaker system right next to it to make sure it sounds good. I thought maybe that was like a waterproof game controller, but it's a speaker. Either way, very cool. Nice to know that we are maximizing your time while you're getting clean. Show us how you watch or listen to TNT. Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup. You can post it on Instagram, Google+, Twitter, or Facebook and use the hashtag #HowIWatchTNT and we'll find it.
How much is your personal information worth? Verizon thinks it's worth about the same price as tickets to go see Lady Gaga. Jason Abruzzese says Verizon from Mashable says Verizon's new Verizon Up program will give you concert tickets, Uber rides, or phone upgrades just for agreeing to let the company track you on the web in apps and in the real world with a program they call Verizon Selects. This is just the beginning of Verizon's efforts to use highly targeted data to create advertising network like Google or Facebook. So go ahead and enjoy that Lady Gaga show. It's probably better than the free stuff you get from Facebook, which is basically pictures of other people's babies. So we're all handing away our information. You might as well get something good from it.
I suppose. Like, I feel like this should, you know, this sort of thing, when I read it at first, I was like, oh, man, I can't believe they're doing that. But then I had to really kind of be honest with myself and take a good look in the mirror and just go, like, I already do this with Google. I did it with Facebook. I've withdrawn from Facebook a little bit, but that doesn't really matter. They still have all that year's worth of information, you know, that I shared with them. Like, we're so used to doing this and getting something for it. Seems like a good negotiation where you're like, okay, well, I give it, so I might as well get something for it. But, you know, then we talk like at the beginning of the show about DACA, and it's just like a prime example of like, yeah, but you just never know. Like, you never know at what point that ends up being a really bad idea. And I hope that Lady Gaga show was worth it.
Well, it's, yeah, I mean, they really want to track you everywhere. They want to use location tracking. And, you know, you got to give them props. They're saying this up front. They're not trying to hide it. Scooter X in the chat room said he looked at the rewards program. And right away, like, there's a first pop-up that says, you know, can we track you here? Can we track you here? Can we track you here? And he passed. So, yeah, I mean, look at it. Think about it. Decide if it's something that you really want to turn your information over. I think we should all constantly think about what our information is worth. And you bring up a great point that, okay, so yeah, Verizon's just going to use it right now to target ads to us. But that's what all these companies say. This is what we're using it now, but they reserve the right to use it for something else.
For whatever.
Future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I never know. I become growingly, don't worry, I'm just putting the glove back on. Become growingly more concerned about it. And I don't know whether it's a tinfoil hat thing or what, but I just don't feel right about it. At the same time, like, yeah, I share a lot of stuff with Google. Like, Google, you know, knows this and more about, you know, where, and like, knows where I went camping this weekend, probably, and followed me around there. So at what point, you know, Are we angry, or are we just resigned and okay with it and we get something and that's the trade-off? I don't know.
Well, it almost feels like getting an actual thing like a Uber ride or ticket. It's that makes it almost seem worse because when it's like Google, I get to use Gmail. I get, you know, you don't think about it. It disappears, like whatever information you're giving to.
Yeah.
It's not a trade-off. It's not a like, I give you this and then you give me this.
Right.
So I think Verizon really just isn't selling this right.
Yeah.
They should hide it.
No, I think, yes, I agree. Be upfront, and that's the better way to go. But still, this is just the world we live in now with technology. I think that's just the way it is.
We don't have to.
Yeah. What's the alternative?
Well, just say like, hey, what we're doing, this Verizon program seems kind of sketchy. Yeah. Do you really, what is your information worth? Think about it in the future.
Think about it. TNT records live every Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 UTC at twit.tv/live. Be part of the show by emailing us, tnt@twit.tv. Leave us a short voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW, and find us on Twitter at TechNewsTodayTV.
And if you want to tweet at me about how much you think your information is worth, I would love to know. I'm at Megan Maroney.
And I'm at Jason Howell. Thanks to Kevin, our technical director. Are you editing today, sir? Excellent. And our editor, featured editor today. Thanks to Burke and Jammer B for helping out here in the studio. And thanks to you for talking tech with us today. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Bye, everybody. That was the loudest high five ever.